Hi there, welcome. Well, the first thing we're going to cover is how to handle the skeptics in the world. Now, here you are, a medium emerging, blossoming. I know that you're so excited as you're developing yourself. And I remember in the beginning when I was developing myself as a medium, you finally feel like you found yourself. You finally feel like you've settled into who you are. And it's so exciting and engaging. We just want to shout it from the rooftops and tell the world. The problem is, the rest of the world might not be there yet. So let's take it into our friends and family first. There may be some people in your world, husbands, family members, spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends, people who just think that you've fallen off the cuckoo nest and they're not quite sure what to make of you. Well, the first and foremost thing, especially when it's dealing with people that you love, is to remember each of us to thine each self be true. So each of us need to remember that this doesn't have to be something that everyone in our family or in our bubble has to agree with or has to spiritually align with. It is absolutely okay for you to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't necessarily agree with the same thoughts, feelings, and emotions that you have. But they do need to be okay with what you do. They can't be telling you this is evil or dark or what you're doing is wrong. If someone is doing that to you, then they're subjecting you to their own thoughts, feelings, or emotions. See, as soon as I say that, how my throat chakra just blocks right up and it starts to close up because it's like, what? Nobody can say that to you. But vice versa. If you're in a relationship with someone who is a Baptist or, a Jehovah's Witness, or they have some spiritual beliefs and things that don't agree with you, it's not your place or your business to try and push or promote or put on to them something that you don't necessarily believe or how you feel. As long as what we're doing always comes from a place of love and not from a place of harm, then I think it's okay. I don't necessarily align with all religious or spiritual beliefs, but if it only comes from a place of love and there's no hate or anger or resentment, physical, emotional, or mental pain, then who am I to judge? I mean, to each thine own self be true. So if you're in a relationship with someone who's really concerned for you and they feel like this is just something that you shouldn't be doing, I think the best thing and the first thing you need to do is sit down and establish some ground rules. Here's who I am, here's how I feel, and here's what's important for me in my life. And I don't think anyone should change who they are for anybody else. So if that feels restrictive or trapped to you, if they're giving you ultimatums, I think that that's even a separate issue beyond what you're doing. I think that those are some control issues and issues that would have been there regardless of you developing yourself as a medium or not. The most important thing with skeptics is to remember who matters the most. You do. You can love everyone in your life, but you have to love yourself first. And who you are at the core of your being is the most important thing. What other people think of us is none of our business. And sometimes it'll be important, especially in extended family members, cousins, aunts, and uncles, to just let go. The other thing that I found with a lot of mediums is that they typically have had very severed or difficult childhoods and upbringings. Then what ends up happening is when they get into a place where they're now discovering themselves and becoming this spiritually aligned person, others don't believe them because of the mistakes that they've made in the past. That's not okay. Again, that's another form of judgment and something that really doesn't concern you. Again, it doesn't affect you unless you let it. That's their life lesson. The judgment, the ridicule, the gossip, none of those things should exist, nor should they bother you. What you should focus on is you. I also want to talk about what skeptics can do in readings. I know that seems crazy, but why would a skeptic come and get a reading? Well, two reasons. One, a skeptic will come to you for a reading because they want to prove that this is wrong. And the other reason is that they'll come to you for a reading because they want you to prove to them that this is right. The truth is that their skepticism comes from primary fear, and that's every skeptic. Every skeptic that has something to say, you know, that's dark, that's bad, that's evil, it's all because it's rooted in fear and because they just don't understand. It would be like me saying, oh, rosary beads, those are dark, those are evil, you're praying to the bead, it's some sort of a seance. No, it's just a form of prayer, it's just a tool. So what's important for you is to not let anyone play test the medium or test the psychic game with you. So if you sit down with someone and you're giving them a reading, one of the ways to tell if they are a skeptic is by first noticing that their arms are completely crossed and they're completely blocked. And you can see that there's this blockage in them and they're just shut down completely. They've crossed their arms, they're blocking their chakras, and they've got their mouth, their lips sort of pierced tight, and they're sort of giving you this energy of prove it to me. And when I sit down in front of a client who's like that, the first thing I do is go, okay, I just want to let you know that I'm not here to be tested or to be judged. And if that's what this is about, I will happily give you back your money because I don't want to do this. I want to be here for people who are open, who are willing, and who are receptive. That doesn't mean that you have to understand everything I do, but you do have to have an element of faith to believe in what I do. Because they can block me by connecting through their energy or to their loved one's energy just by their pushing that energy against me. Now, 99.9 times in all the history of my life as a medium, everyone then immediately opens up their hands, relaxes in their chair, and goes, okay. I just want to know if this is going to work. And that is a completely different energy. Like I said, they can be questionable. They can be a lack of understanding. You know, I don't know. I don't know how this works. But if they're totally pushing against you and resisting you in every way possible, then yeah, this is bullshit and this doesn't belong. That's a different energy. One time in all my years as a medium, I had a woman say, fine, give me back my money. And I happily did so because I don't want to play test the medium or test the psychic game. You're still going to have a lot of clients that are going to come to you and say, you know, I thought of this one thing before the reading. And if you don't say that one thing, then nothing you said to me is valid. And my response to that is, wow, I'm really sorry that you're going to miss out on all the healing and all the messages that Spirit had to give you. I'm sorry for that. I wish I could change your mind to know that the last 45 minutes of this reading has been amazing and your spirit's worked really, really hard to get here. But I also think as a medium and as an intuitive, then it also becomes your job to ensure that you have accurately explained to your client how it works when you communicate with spirit. Make sure that they know that they don't always know that they're going to feel them or see them or touch them. Make sure that they know how spirit communicates with you. Explain to them that it's like playing charades with a body of light. Tell them how you see spirit. Tell them what the clairs are. Give them the knowledge to understand. And then often when they do understand, they go, oh, that's how it works. You mean it's not like watching a movie and spirit just comes in and sits down? No, otherwise we'd all be mediums. I think the biggest thing I can tell you with learning how to handle skeptics is also not get involved and locked into a power struggle with them. Never try and convince anyone that this is real, and never try and push your thoughts, opinions, or beliefs on someone else. If they don't believe, that's okay. That's their journey and their lesson. That's another one of the reasons why I tell people it is never, ever, ever, ever okay to go up to someone and give them a message when they didn't ask for it. You could totally be affecting someone's karma. You could be interrupting their life lessons. What if they're never supposed to wake up to this gift in this lifetime? Remember, if everybody was good, what would we learn? That leads me to part two of this lesson, where I want to talk to you about spiritual study. Spiritual study is probably one of the most biggest things that you can do for yourself as a medium. And I'm going to tell you my story and how I learned this the hard way. I developed myself as a medium and I went on a healing journey at the same time. I began reading books and going into meditation and prayer, creating altars and really focusing and driving my life in a spiritual direction. Years and years later, meditating got a little bit boring. Prayers seemed like something that took up too much time. I had too many other things to do. I was too busy filming TV shows and writing books and doing interviews. And spirit seemed to show up, whether I was in spiritual study or not. The problem with that is that moving away from being spiritually aligned in my life, I was allowing myself to absorb too much negativity. And I was spending more time in my ego than I was in my spirit. Even though I knew how to shift into my spirit in my readings, I had forgotten the healing journey that I had gone on that initially had provided me with so much mental, physical, and emotional health and healing. I didn't believe that we needed to meditate every day and to be in prayer daily. I didn't think I needed that because I didn't need it to communicate with spirit. What I didn't understand was that I was robbing my soul from the experience of being spiritually aligned. And that if I wasn't spiritually aligned, I could still be a medium, but that I would draw a lot of negativity into my life, whether it be emotionally, mentally, or physically, or spiritually. So the last 2 years of my life, I've made a very strong devotion to meditation, to daily prayer, and to ensuring that I not only walk the walk, but that I talk the talk. That every aspect and every part of my life is to constantly try and be in the moment and to rise above and to be spiritually aligned. Some things that you can do is practice daily meditation. And don't just say you're going to do it, actually do it. Practice daily prayer. I read the Bible every single day. I actually follow a woman by the name of Joyce Myers, who, if she knew she was being followed by a medium, maybe wouldn't believe in what I do. But it doesn't matter, because I believe in what she does, and my heart is open to her and to her spiritual word of God. I wear a bracelet and I have a tattoo. Those things remind me of who I am and where I'm going. When I see the bracelet on my hand, it reminds me to stay spiritually reminded, to be grounded. And it reminds me not to feed into gossip or drama. And it reminds me that it's not my business what other people think of me. It reminds me to be in the moment. It also reminds me to surround myself with people who are also spiritually aligned. That was the other mistake I made as a medium. In the beginning, I thought that I could be this spiritual medium, but that I could surround myself with friends and people who were very ego-based and who were very different than me. I was constantly in my life trying to become something I wasn't. I so desperately wanted to fit in. I never thought that I was actually enough. And when I figured out that I was enough was after my mom passed. And suddenly, a lot of unspiritually aligned people began to leave my life. Their negativity couldn't exist there anymore. I was raising my vibration. I wasn't just talking about being a medium or talking about being spiritually aligned. I was. And so what spirit did was what I call a cleaning of house. You couldn't fit there if you didn't align with me. My elevation had risen so hard and so fast and so high and so abundant that what I was doing was just surrounding those with me that could see a bigger picture, could understand what it meant to trust the process, knew that it wasn't right to have conversations filled with gossip and drama and resentment and jealousy and anger. I now continue to keep a journal. Every single day I write in my journal, and I never feel like I'm too big for my britches. It doesn't matter how many television shows or books, how many Facebook followers or fans open up my emails. Those things don't mean anything to me. What means something to me is that everything that comes out of my mouth is pure of heart, and that every single reading I do with a pure divine connection to God and to spirit. That I stay spiritually aligned and true to myself and true to God and the path and the journey that I'm on. I use manifesting positive things into my life, positive affirmations, positive mantras. I stay aligned because it feels better to be in this place. And because I know that if I want to work with spirit, spirits on the other side that come from a place of love and light, then I need to be as clear and clean and filled and free of drama and negativity as I can. And that means I'll have to be present every single day, in every conversation, in everything I write, in everything I read, and in everything I watch. I don't even watch crime movies that I used to love and horror movies, nothing. If it doesn't come from a place of love and light, junky, crappy reality shows and gossip and drama, I have no time for it. I constantly stay in a place and in a position that raises my vibration. I stay in tune by surrounding myself with animals and nature. And I keep the promises that I make to myself first and foremost, never letting anyone take me off this course or off this journey. And if I find myself slipping without judgment or guilt, I gently bring myself back to that place. I am not a fraud or a fake. I know deep in my heart and in my soul who I am, because I've fallen in love with me. That's one of the most difficult things that you can do in this lifetime. But when you do, you will begin to understand why spiritual study, why understanding God, Spirit, Jesus, higher power, those who came before us, Buddha, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, why they're so important, what they've done to us in this lifetime, and how we can emanate some of those things and continue to transpire and flow those lessons out to the rest of the world. It's your job as a medium to stay spiritually aligned and to not let your readings or your purpose be muddied with things that do not matter or place no emphasis or precedent in. You know, it's not about money. It's not about fame. It's not about anything other than loving yourself, forgiving yourself, and holding peace and love in your heart at all times. I hope you've enjoyed this lesson. I hope I've helped you deal with skeptics, and you can add things to your spiritual study. I mean, maybe your spiritual study comes with drawing or coloring, or maybe it comes with going with the nature walk. Whatever it is, partner and pair yourself in life with God, with spirit, with higher power. And when you do that, I promise you, you can move mountains.